Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, grassroots show, that is, true straight up.
That's right, and the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So today we can open it up a little bit. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. Lots of things to talk about today. Everything from the RNC, no one's giving them money. Go, I wonder why. To 2024, but it's looking like Disney has another bomb at the box office. But why don't we start off? If you haven't been, I guess, I don't know if you would know about this if you didn't follow Twitter, but we have had on our show, and we liked him. We liked his answers.
Trent Lisey. Republican for CD4 to replace Ken Buck. And he certainly had grassroots things to say, and we liked him. But now he's under attack.
Well, and he's, so here's what's going on. Over the weekend, this started, and a social media influencer by the name of Laura Loomer, and she's kind of, I think she's 30 years old. She started with James O'Keefe with Project Veritas, right? Mm-hmm. And she's sort of a citizen journalist, I guess. And she does some good stuff. So her style is kind of to ambush people, but she is very fervently pro-Trump. I think she would say she hates the Republican Party, but she loves Trump, so she wants to defend Trump. And she started tweeting some things out, saying that she was concerned about people who were supporting Trent Lisey without having all of the information. Now, Trent Lisey has been on our show a couple of times, mm-hmm. And we reached out to him several times and asked him to be on the show and have not heard back from him yet. If and when he calls, we will certainly get him on. But here's the crux of it. There were kind of two, I guess you would call them allegations. One,
I would call it just a all-on assault by Laura Loomer against Trent Lisey. Apparently, he met her down at Mar-a-Lago for the screening of Police State, and she didn't like him. And for whatever reason, some other people didn't seem to like him. So Laura Loomer went on just an all-out mud campaign against him, sometimes contradictorily. And I have to say, to start out with, you know, I don't care what most people's personal lives are. I mean, if you're doing sex tapes, live sex tapes for money, you know, no, that's not good. But most of the stuff.
Well, only if you're a Democrat.
Only if you're a Democrat, yeah. And you know, the only person I know of, at least I know of, it hasn't been tainted, is Jimmy Carter. And he is the worst president in the world. It's just awful. So living a stellar life, if that's what you want to call it, it's no prerequisite. I personally like Ken Buck. Met him, knew him a little bit socially, but as far as politics, they stink. All he does is trash on all the people who supported him and all the Republicans who supported him. So, you know, I really don't like, I'd rather discuss people's views than vague claims of personal life picadillos, but it's gone to the point where it's not going to be able to stop.
Yeah, and so here's what is, let me explain it straight. So here is one of the things that she brought out. One of the first things she brought out was that Trent Lisey had been arrested for harassing a minor. This was several years ago. And then one of the other things she brought out was apparently, and that's kind of, I think I'll go through the thing. So this started with, well, let me address the arrest first. So Trent Lisey didn't answer. She was showing some news clippings from back when 2016, 2017, when he ran for a school board there. Uh-huh. He then, though, this is what he did wrong, I would say. And Trent Lisey hasn't asked me for advice, but if I were you know, I, this is what I would tell him. So what he did is he finally responded, much too late, I would say, saying that the Colorado Bureau of Investigation reports show no indication or any evidence of him being arrested. Well, technically that's true, but then Laura Loomer countered with showing the actual an arrest record, right? I think what must have happened is it seems like this stemmed from an ugly divorce, in a case involving an incident with his child where maybe initially somebody,
his kid,
somebody tried to say child abuse that was never charged, right? And that it seems as if, according to a Greeley Tribune article in which he admitted during the school board campaign that this happened, he pled guilty to harassment, was sentenced, I think, 6 months probation, and everything was done, right?
And he probably had, they said, okay, assuming the probation period, your arrest record will be expunged and you no longer have to say you're arrested.
Right.
But even though technically, obviously you were.
Right. And I think that was his mistake to say that, because then Laura Loomer could come back with these articles, right? What he should have done, I would say, is simply explain it, that this happened during, which what it appears is it happened during an ugly divorce. There are these accusations. I can tell you this, if somebody says, oh, there's child abuse, they don't reduce it to a lesser misdemeanor charge unless there's absolutely zero evidence of child abuse. Right. So it appears. And then you have to plead. I mean, he showed
up. When I got falsely accused of DUI, for which I was acquitted within 30 minutes, you know, the judge said, OK, your record has been expunged. You never have to say you were arrested. Well, I don't care. You know, the jury of my 12 peers, 20 minutes, found me totally a wonderful person and not guilty of anything. But I can see if I was him.
Prosecutor did indeed
call
you, stated for legal reasons for now into the eternity that you were a good guy.
A good guy. Chuck Bono was a good guy. We'll admit that. Well, there you go. Then that's all you need.
But the problem is, in this day and age, there are still other records that show that he was arrested.
But I think that's bullshit. And the whole thing's bullshit.
It is. But then the other thing, though, and I kind of agree with you in that. We don't know the truth of all of this. Apparently, then what happened is it started with a guy by the name of, at least on Twitter, his name is Evan Kilgore, who works for Turning Point USA, who says he was approached by a minor who claimed that Trent Lisey paid for a hotel room, paid for booze for him. And although nothing happened, and the kid is pretty clear, absolutely nothing happened, made what this kid felt was inappropriate, possibly comments that the kid interpreted as being sexual in nature.
So why did he accept the hotel room? Why did he accept the alcohol? I mean, it just stinks.
And Trent Lisey has not addressed those except in one tweet to say that he hasn't done anything wrong. So the Colorado Republican Party was sort of besieged by comments and put out a statement basically saying, if any of this stuff is true, concerning the potential of the
that doesn't reflect our
values, and Trent Lisey should come clean. So that's what we
and he's accused by Laura Loomer of grooming somebody. Now, grooming somebody is saying hello and smiling. Grooming, yes, anything can be grooming.
Right,
grooming can be whatever you want it to be.
Say, Laura Loomer, given what we've heard, because she was promising there was going to be all kinds of other people and other stuff coming forward, which has not materialized. It does appear, however, that Donald Trump is not going to be endorsing him. And I don't know what's going to happen, but that's where things stand. And it is, to be honest, I'm not sure. I know Trump Lisey had initially indicated to me in a text that he was waiting to talk to his attorney. I can tell you right now, you can't sue Laura Loomer. All of this stuff is it happened, right?
Well,
now, the conclusion that she's drawing, right, the conclusions that she's drawing are incorrect. But for whatever, if anyone who knows Trent Lisey and talks to him, I don't think any of these, well, I guess it depends on the explanation. It seems to me that it could be perfectly reasonable that somebody could go to a Turning Point convention and offer to pay for, because these weren't.
Well, why is the kid wandering around looking for a hotel room?
Well, we don't. Well, the thing is, there are too many circumstances we don't know. And it's certainly, again, the kid made it clear nothing happened. No one has come forward with any kind of allegation.
So why was he going around?
Right.
Trying to,
I guess it would be wrong if he bought booze for minors. That would be bad.
Oh, the world ends.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that's what I'm saying. I wish Trent Lice would come forward and address this.
And a minor can mean a kid 20 years old, because you have to be 21 years old to drink.
Well, 18. 18 is a minor.
Not for drinking purposes.
No, but that would be illegal purchase of an alcohol. But it's not clear. I guess that's what I'm saying is these are things that I think it's possible. They're perfectly acceptable explanations for this. But again, I think what he's doing wrong is to try to say, well, there's no record of my arrest. Well, but there is a record of your arrest, right? And the explanation seems perfectly reasonable. Then he gave back that, right? So I don't know why you would try to hide it. Another thing that came out was a video of him and some other guy at what appears to be a strip club with women kind of in a thong kind of twerking, and he's kind of throwing money. But I will say that's what happens at strip clubs. There's nothing wrong with going to strip clubs.
Well, I thought he was grooming young boys, not throwing money at strippers.
Yeah, and he doesn't look at her even, too. To me,
well, then he's not guilty. If he didn't look, if he didn't look at her bottom, he's not guilty.
You look just kind of awkward. He didn't touch her. He didn't do anything that would be inappropriate in a strip club. So I'm not sure. Well, I mean, there are certain things. There are rules at strip clubs, right? I mean, he didn't touch her. He didn't do anything, right? He didn't put the money in the thong. I mean, at least in the video that we saw, which I'm assuming.
You're allowed to put money in the thong.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, he didn't even do that. So I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. I liked the things that Trent Lice had to say. I hope that he can get this straightened out. If he doesn't do it pretty quick, though, I fear that his campaign is probably doomed. You know, I mean,
we'll have to see. Give him a little time.
See what comes up. In the meantime, though, I will say I hope that we get some good grassroots candidates out of CD4, CD8. Lauren Boebert is fighting the hard fight there in CD3.
And there's another one. I don't care if Lauren Boebert and her date
got frisky.
I really just don't care. And the fact that anybody else does care is, to me, is pathetic, because that's all Democratic garbage thrown out there.
Right, right.
And I never see why Republicans go, oh. I mean, give me a break.
Well, I guess the bottom line to me, you know, I disagree on this a little bit. It's like, I would just like to see Trump's explanation for this. You have these minors who are saying he's doing this. And I would like to hear his explanation for what was actually going on. And minors, I use the term, as far as I know, there's only been one person who has come forward to Turning Point USA and said anything. And it looked like Laura Loomer then picked this up and people became concerned about him. So she kind of ran with this. He didn't respond. From what I gather, she didn't spring this on him. She reached out to him, from what I understand, ahead of time. And when he didn't respond after a certain point, she posted it. So, I don't know. Oh, wait. We have a
incoming.
Oh,
incoming.
Okay. Here, you keep talking. This is,
I'll keep talking. Okay. We've got an incoming text that Julie Hayden is reading to herself right at this moment as germane to something, and therefore we'll be turning to her momentarily while we talk and talk and talk.
Okay, well, this is
here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Julie Hayden reporting.
Trent Lice saying, when is your next show? I would be happy to come on that time to discuss all of this. He's going to be issuing a formal statement through the Colorado GOP. I just said they're on right now. Can I call you? So, Thomas, if you want to stand by. The little dots are rolling. Well, maybe we'll get something right now. How about this, Thomas? Why don't we do this? Why don't you, because I think you have his phone number from before, if you have it. Do you want to maybe try calling him and asking? Actually, he's sitting by. Try calling him. Never mind. He said, my attorney has advised me to wait until the formal statement is issued. I hope you understand. Okay.
All righty. We'll wait till then.
Well, that makes sense. If you're interested. Okay. Well, so maybe somebody called him listening to our show and said, Sook and Julie are saying you need to respond to this.
Or maybe he's just a fan.
No, he wasn't listening. So I had been texting him all day. So, okay, guys, well, we will get him on probably on Wednesday then.
Yeah.
Our next show is Wednesday. So stand by. They'll be issuing the formal statement. Well, good for him then. Because as you said, looking at this, I didn't see anything. If you could address it, I guess it depends on what the answers are, right? But if you could address it, then you should address it. I think, and it is kind of distressing that the world of politics is so you know, this is the way it plays.
Yeah,
it's played.
The issues don't matter. It's just all the garbage in between.
Well, and if I were Trump, I would say, yeah, this is probably nothing compared to what Democrats might throw at him. So,
no, the Rhino Republicans are every bit as vicious as Democrats.
Well, yeah, and again, we don't know for sure where this came from. It seems to me that it did not originate with the Rhino Republican, which granted, I'm happy to blame them for stuff. But in this case, it appears that it originated through somebody reaching out to Turning Point USA and Laura Loomer getting a little bit, okay. I hear you keep talking again.
Keep talking. Okay, this is Chuck Bonnell again. No. Keep talking again about this upcoming scandal, or maybe semi-scandal, but we'll have a complete and total report by Trent Lightsey himself.
Right, he says we'll be the first interview after the statement is issued.
All right.
Which probably my guess is won't be today. All right, well,
there we go.
To catch you all up, so just to kind of wrap things up, so we were talking about Trent Lightsey, this attack on Trent Lightsey, issues being raised that he did not appear to be addressing, has now just texted me live during the show saying they're going to be issuing a formal statement through the Colorado GOP. He doesn't want to make any comments until after that statement is issued, but we will be the first interview with him once that is. And so we will obviously let all of you know.
You'll be there for Wednesday.
That's
just
right.
Come back Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get on the next one.
Disney flop.
They put out their latest and greatest flop, Wish, which is kind of a cartoon on Make-A-Wish. And it was, the big white man who is an allegorical one for Trump was mean to this woman and blah, blah, blah. It's tanked. As all our movies have, Elemental tanked.
The Marvels that came out was the 30th. And I got to tell you what, I love the Marvel shows, but some of them have been bad. Thor, Love and Thunder, not a fan of them. But this was the worst of all of them that have come out.
It was hundreds of millions of dollars. And all the films they've had out have been disasters of this year. I think there's one exception. But it's amazing to have the kind of year they're having where nobody wants to go to their theme parks. Their movies are flailing. Their merchandise is flailing, and they don't seem to be able to change course.
apparently acknowledged to their stockholders.
Yeah, and
their stockholders
the that there's misalignment with the fans.
Yeah, you'd think it's like kind of like Budweiser when you're like a commercial retail product and you misalign with your fans. That's bad.
They may not want to watch you.
Your fans are like they're what pay for you, right? It's like you need your fans, and it's like if we were misaligned with our fans, we wouldn't really last very long.
So
right?
One thing on MSN saying these 10 movies are made to enrich Hollywood.
That's right.
Little message to you. All movies are intended to enrich Hollywood. Right. None of them are intended to beggar Hollywood.
That's right. And this one, Thomas, didn't they lose a tax exemption in Florida? Yes.
No, they lost. They lost the ability to have their own government in Florida, their own district.
Okay. Yes. And then the new, Thomas is saying the new Marvel movie is a flop. It is a major flop. I mean, it was expected. Normally Disney over Thanksgiving weekend just crushes it, right? And this weekend they lost to Napoleon. They lost
Hunger
to
Games.
The Hunger Games, which even I don't have any desire to see.
No, I like the first two ones.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anything with Rachel Zegler, I'm missing. I just won't go.
But at any rate, so I think
unless there's Rachel Zegler and Amber Heard, and who's the third one from the Marvels?
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson, there you go.
You'll go to that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, this all kind of ties in with losing touch, miscommunicating with your fans. So the RNC apparently has $9.1 million on hand right now. You'd think, well, that seems like a lot, but it's not a lot. That's the lowest amount they've had since 2015. In 2016, they had $20 million on hand at this point. And when Trump was in office, they had $61 million on hand at this point. I was reading an article and I forget where they were saying they can't figure out why. It's like no one's giving us money anymore and they can't figure out why. Well, I could tell them why.
Yeah.
It's like, number one, Rhonda McDaniel, look at your record, right?
Yeah.
You just suck. I mean, you can't win an election.
Right.
Why would I want to give you money, right? I mean, I'll just give to the candidate.
Right.
The other thing is, and I could see some of it is, well, they keep saying the major donors are waiting to see who's going to win the primary. Well, hello?
Message. Maybe the guy's got 64% of the vote. I mean,
give me a break. Oh, she says, oh, they can't make hay off Trump anymore. I know. And Trump is being kind of nice about it, you know, because he hasn't yet called for her to resign. Maybe here's just a thought. They should quit spending money on debates that no one even cares about. Right. When they say, well, the donors are waiting to see who wins the primary. It's like, you know, Iowa's what, January 15th, the first caucus. And they keep Fox keeps trying to push Nikki Haley, saying she's surging.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, again, okay, she's gone from what, 2% to 3%, and Trump is at over 60%.
I can't stand her.
So they're losing, right? And they keep like going around to the same old thing. And it is, as the conservative treehouse says, we got to remember, we tend to look at it as the RNC is there to help Republican candidates get elected, right? But that's not the point of the RNC. The point of the RNC is to enrich the RNC, right?
Well, raise lots of money, which then is doled out to whoever their consultants and everybody else is, and some candidates, but you know, they don't do anything. They really don't do anything.
Right. Keep talking. I'm still.
Oh, we're back to just talking while you're off on the show and doing other things.
Here's the latest then update with Trent Lisey. They're hoping to put his statement out first thing in the morning. They're working on it tonight. And he says, thank you for your patience. I am very frustrated with this. So, all right. Good for him for reaching out. We'll get the story. We'll have him on Wednesday then and explain everything. So back to the RNC. I don't know why it's a mystery to them that nobody's donating, right?
Well, you know, it's some of the average RNC donors don't like Trump, so they're not giving. Trump donors don't like the RNC, so they're not giving. I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm. Well, not only are their big donations down, but their small donations are down.
Well, they don't get for me still.
No. Well, they don't care. But it does go back to, again, you know, they raise money, I think, to kind of keep to keep the established, kind of like Kevin McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
They raise money to give to the people that they like.
Right.
They don't seem to be particularly concerned with winning elections. They don't seem to be raising money.
Or good at it.
Or toward ballot harvesting efforts or measures or things like that. They don't seem to be raising it to spend on lawsuits to kind of fight, you know, for election integrity and things like that. So I don't know. Maybe I should send them a note and say, dear RNC, I can tell you right now why your donations are down. It's because you're losing elections, and your donations, get this, your donations are not going to go up, you know, until you start doing those things. But let's talk a little bit about 2024. So guys, mark your calendars. Thursday night, Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom are going to be debating with Sean Hannity.
That brilliant Sean Hannity.
Now, Chuck, what are they going to be debating?
Red state versus blue state, or at least that's the title to it.
Okay.
What they'll actually talk about, who knows? But they'll attack each other's records and how things are doing in their states and their personal lives. I don't know.
This is from Peg. If they would have worked on election integrity when Trump, quote, lost, they might be relevant. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the thing. I think the RNC knows they're not relevant. So, you know. Well, and that's why Fox know. I mean, why on earth is Fox spending time and effort to have a debate between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom?
They like them both.
Well, and maybe, but I thought Fox liked Nikki Haley now.
Well,
so maybe they'll throw her in there.
Can serve the drinks. I don't know. I mean, who cares? You know, nobody likes Gavin Newsom. Nobody likes Ron DeSantis, and nobody really wants to see what they have to say. But maybe not. Maybe a huge hit and it'll boost one or the other or both of their presidential runs.
Well, Gavin Newsom isn't running for president, Chuck, you said.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Let's go to that. You were talking earlier, your predictions, as we wrap up 2023, because you were saying, hey, we should talk a little bit about 2024.
Well, I just mean nationally, I think it's looking up to be a tremendous year for Republicans. Now, 2022 was also, and it didn't turn out that way. But right now, Trump is running 12% above what he did against Biden at the same time 4 years ago. He's ahead by about 2.5 points. And that's incredible, really. Last 12 polls have all had him, Trump winning. So that's great. The Republican Democrats are more or less even on the generic vote. So I think all things are going to get worse for Biden. I don't think the economy is going to improve.
Right.
I don't think the war in Ukraine is going to get any better. I think it's going to get appreciably worse, if not lost. I think the inflation's here to stay as long as we keep on overspending.
Well, and don't allow energy.
And don't allow any energy production. I don't see what works out other than a nice, you know, coronavirus or something that you can.
Well, they're trying. Have you guys noticed they had the Daily Mail all over the place? You're seeing people with masks flooding hospitals in China. It's like, oh, I believe that, right? Yeah. I believe those. Was it Charlene who was talking about the pictures earlier? We believe those pictures, you know. So that's not going to work. No, I think you're right in terms of the polls. What I have read, even Democrats saying that the really bad news for Biden is the reason that people are not liking him, right? And the economy is a major thing. And even if he were to implement Trump-like policies, let's even say he were to try to like start, you know, getting back with, you know, cheap energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not going to turn around anytime soon. And not only that, but he's committed to not doing that, right? Even though there was a funny thing, Kamala Harris was posting a picture of her cooking a Thanksgiving dinner. Exactly, using a gas stove. So
we'll say now all of a sudden, hey, long cars, gas stoves, you know,
all of that. and it's not working. And I think the economy isn't going to get better. People know that it's expensive. Right. You can try to, you know, gaslight us and tell us that what did he try to say? Biden tried to say that the economy, this is the cheapest Thanksgiving, like, in no, it wasn't.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't. Okay. So it's the reason for that. I think the other thing that's hurting him internally, which is worse. I mean, it's one thing to try to convince Republicans and independents that the economy is good. I can see if you're a Democrat, you're willing to suffer a little bit. Well, mostly if you're a Democrat, you're like an elite billionaire. So you're on your yacht.
You're happy for others to suffer.
Right. You don't care if other people suffer. But the bigger problem he has is this Israel-Hamas thing. I think that you're seeing people in the administration resigning. I mean, Biden is supporting Israel. Kind of.
So everybody's mad at him. He's doing a half-assed job of that. And then they all blame him for supporting Israel. And Israel says, well, you're not much of a friend.
And I think it becomes very difficult for the Democrat. I mean, I think that's going to be a big issue in the campaign, right? Because, I mean, he needs the young people to get out and vote. And I don't think that the young people, I mean, if you're like a pro-Hamas person, you're unlikely to go vote for Trump, right? But you're also probably not going to bother to go vote for Biden if he's your only option. Or something like that. But I mean, I don't see how he gets his way out of that. Do you?
No. And Ronny Jackson, the doctor to the president's now a congressman, said, you know, his cognitive decline is going pretty quick. If you kind of gauge it, he's getting worse and worse. And that's, you know, unless the drugs improve a lot, he's going to seem worse and worse.
Right. And I hear this from Charlene. The two-party system was set up in America to intentionally divide the masses. George Washington fought it, but the old monarch ruling class of Britain prevailed in bringing it to America. Carol Quigley talks about it in the book Tragedy and Hope. Oh, that's pretty interesting, Charlene. And then she says, this is true. Trump got 2 minutes of straight applause at the South Carolina football game last night. And then, of course, Biden and Nikki Haley are supporting the Zionist communist agenda. And then Peg Cage, I'm so accustomed to the two-party system that I can't imagine it differently. Plus, all the laws are for two parties. We're headed to jungle primaries if Kent Theory has his way.
Well, actually, the Constitution was the founders of the Constitution hoped they didn't have what they call factions. The factions were bad. And while they were very good at doing a lot of things about human natures, they didn't realize that factions are how human beings work. They divide up into the red team and the blue team. We always if one team totally kills one, then we bifurcate that into two teams. I mean, the idea that we wouldn't have factions is a
utopian
misunderstanding of human nature. That's what we basically are. As chimpanzees, we divide up into groups and keep on dividing and keep on dividing, which is what keeps us endlessly at war, which makes us why we're great.
There's Chuck's optimistic thing. Well, I think that is true. You're seeing that now with the Democrats. They control everything. But then here's the thing. But you have George Soros, who I think just wants destruction of civilization and the culture. He's one of the ones pouring money into these Hamas things. Yeah, and now if you're the Democrats, I think it's very hard for them to turn around and say, look, you realize that all of these protests are fake, right? You realize these are not organic, just like Antifa was not organic, just like January 6th was not organic. It was all like a Democrat strategy, right? Or the rich elite strategy.
Right.
They can't turn around and say that. So they can't say so. But in the meantime, though, you have enough, I think, young, for God knows why, but young Democrats who support Hamas And completely refused to acknowledge that Hamas might have done anything wrong. And if it apparently, according to Stefan, I mean, and who knows what the truth is, but it, certainly it is becoming difficult for the Democrat Party to handle. I mean, they're not.
Well, Hamas has taken the anti-festival faction of the American people. And you know, people go, I hate those music festivals. Hamas is for you. They went into Israel and just slaughtered everyone at a peace festival. Well, they did.
This is from Charlie.
They did.
Candidates shouldn't have to belong to a party to run for office. And then Peg says, true, Chuck, candidates can get on the ballot by petition, even in the parties. Well, let's talk a little bit, though, speaking of that for 2024, in case you haven't been paying attention here, Kent Theory, who gave us the open primary system in Colorado, wants to destroy the Colorado political system destroy the political system even further in Colorado and turn it basically into a jungle primary. Now, why don't you explain how that would work? Because it sounds kind of fun, actually, because it doesn't sound that different what we have now. Don't we have a jungle primary?
No. Jungle primary is anybody. The original primary is that anybody can run. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you have a party label or don't have a party label. Then if nobody gets 50% or more in the first round, then the top two candidates go off against each other. It's a way of kind of getting rid of the Republican Party totally. And it helps in California to make it a one-party state. So why we want a one-party state, who knows? I heard an awful thing from a Republican Party official today that Barbara Kirkmeyer is the establishment choice the next gubernatorial race.
What?
Yeah, that's my reaction. Wah! Oh, no!
We'll start to put a kibosh on that as soon as we possibly can. But let's go back
we have that in our power.
Voters do. But I think that what Kent Theory is proposing is, so the way it would work is there would be a primary day. You wouldn't have a Republican primary and you wouldn't have a Democrat primary, basically, right?
They do it in Louisiana. And
right, so there'd just be one primary day, and whoever wanted to be on the ballot, and you'd have to petition. And I think Kent Theory has recommended that it's the top four people. Mm-hmm. And so now the Republicans could, I guess, if they wanted to get together and nominate somebody, mm-hmm. and that person could go on the ballot. But there would seem to be little point for that, because if you're a candidate, you got to fight for the general. I mean, it's essentially holding a general election and a runoff is what it is, basically, right? Skipping the primary altogether. You just have a general election and then a runoff from that general election with the top four, and then the top four would campaign, and then would it be ranked choice, or would it just be plurality?
Ranked choice.
So it would be you would vote for four people.
Well, you vote for who your first person was and who your second person was. If your first person didn't win, then your second. There are lots of versions of jungle primaries, ranked choice voting. They have it in Alaska. Rest assured, it stinks. And that's why Kent Theory, and that's why we'll adopt it.
Well, here's the thing. It's going to be just like open primaries, right? And stupid Republicans better not fall for it. They're going to say, well, who needs the parties, right? It makes it so everybody can run. But explain why it is that it turns out to screw Republicans.
Well, it screws Republicans because whoever's the bigger party is going to win. And there's little chance that people all come out for the second candidate. And ranked choice voting means you're just going to get the most bland one. So get these bland uniparty people. If that's what you want, then support Kent Theory.
But I think that will probably be on the ballot, right?
Yes.
Right. Although, but I might just, and I don't mean to be interviewing you, but I do. I don't understand. I'm still not clear on why that helps Democrats. I mean, why couldn't you have a strong candidate who, although there's no party, but who is charismatic and stuff, and that person would get the vote? Is because just the Democrats have way more money to push their candidates anyway?
More Democrats than Republicans
in Colorado. Okay. What about the ever unicorn unaffiliated voter that we all seek?
They can do that. I mean, for example, Louisiana does this, and they just elected a Republican governor. In fact, every major office has become now, they don't have ranked choice voting. But they did have a jungle primary. But so certainly if Colorado was a majority Republican, it would favor Republicans. The fact that it's a majority Democrat appears the other. And ranked choice voting means you don't get the extremes. You don't get the grassroots. You get Barbara Kirkmeyer.
How would election integrity play into all of that? How would they know
election integrity?
So how about ballot harvesting? How would that play? Okay, so that again would go to the richest party and the biggest party and the most organized party was already doing ballot harvesting, right? So that would,
that helps in urban areas more than does rural areas.
Okay, so you would guarantee basically urban. Well, and okay, so now let's talk about possibly Bart Kirkmeyer being, although who else is out there? I mean, I, not that I would vote for her in Water, but I mean, who out there, what are other Republicans are there? I mean, Heidi Gnall tried, she's not going to run again.
Trent Lisey,
he's got issues that he's got to deal with right now. What other Republicans are there you think who would?
I have no idea. I don't think anybody knows.
Well, I mean, in a way, you have to look at all the well, the only
Eric Hovland.
Yeah, the good news is Polis can't run again, right?
That's right.
So, well, I don't know who the Democrats have either. So, so that's what we want. We want
Mayor of Denver.
A Republican. Yeah. Oh, Mike Johnson will probably run. That's a good point. Tay Anderson.
Hooray.
And then from Charlene, I don't know why Theory and Company needed ranked choice voting as a backup for the system they have now. They must be worried about the grassroots. Dave Williams is governor. I agree.
I didn't
want to say that in case he smacks Chuck the next time and says, quit saying that. I think you're right, Charlene. They are worried about the grassroots all over the place, right? I know the Republican establishment is very worried about the grassroots, and that's why they're constantly attacking grassroots people. Because grassroots are growing in power and influence. Look, as we've talked about on this show, what's going on in Argentina, what's going on in the Netherlands, what's going on really in
South Carolina. Charleston voted his first Republican mayor since 1877, Reconstruction.
And here's the problem that they have. Why is the grassroots doing well? Because people have realized that you can't trust the elites. People have realized that if Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates tell us something, it's probably a lie, and it's probably something that's going to make them rich and hurt us, right? So people are onto that. People are not trusting their institutions. When the CDC tells us we have to get masks, people are not going to wear them this time. And then you look at politicians who just go there and get rich and keep getting richer. So I don't think it's even so much as a grassroots thing as it is just people waking up. I consider it a populist thing. Oh, we got Sherry from Lakewood online one. Hey, Sherry, nice to hear from you.
Hi. I don't understand the political stuff really well, but, they're talking about the parties are there to divide people. And so you've got the Democrats who support Palestinians and the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran across something that I thought was really interesting on the Republican side. And it said a guy named Irving Kristol, who is Bill Kristol's dad.
Uh-huh.
I guess they dub him the neoconservatism.
Yes.
But he made this statement, a philosophical basis that there is no philosophical basis for individual liberties. So if that's the neocon, then what about the, I thought that the doctrine was that God gave people their rights, that it was God-given rights. So it seems to me sometimes it's like you have all different sides on this party and all different sides on this party.
Well, the neocons is really the intellectual Jewish group that was very pro fighting communism, very pro war, and so they kind of took over the foreign establishment of the Republican Party, and George Bush and all that.
Nikki Haley,
we want to invade here, we want to invade there, we want to invade just about everywhere. I'm not sure if the neocons had a view on where your rights came from, the government or the...
Sure, their view on where your rights come from is it comes from them.
Them, right? Yeah, that's right.
People tell us, pesky voters, what our rights are.
I kind of took it.
Yeah.
Is that there's the group that thinks they come for, that, they're the ones that give us the rights, and then there's some of us stupid people that thought the Constitution said God gave us our rights, and it seems in conflict. And then like when you're talking about the people you're talking about, well, then you get into like Kissinger and some of them, and that gets you right back to Klaus Schwab and the people that do want to give you bugs to eat. I mean, basically.
Well, and I think a lot of those people, keep in mind, are not operating from principle, right? You're right. The people who believe in the Constitution and God-given rights, I mean, that's a principle. The other people, I think, are operating from greed, basically. And so their whole thing is what works for me and what enriches me. And they don't care. Rights, schmites, right? Who care? They have rights, and their rights are bought and paid for. But I think that's the underlying thing. Don't think for a second that those people have independent principles that guide their behavior or their decisions.
Well, they do. They just think everybody would be a lot happier if they didn't have property, if that was just controlled by this one world government, and they're on top and you're on the bottom.
Sherry, I think it's fallen apart a little bit. I think people are seeing through it anymore, and people are getting like, you know, it's like, wait, I don't want to drive an EV. They don't work, right? And, you know, I actually don't want to eat bugs. And they're trying to tell us now. The Denver Post keeps running stories about how great that it's just like telling us that this is our cheapest Thanksgiving meal like in history. It's like they keep telling us, no, the meat made from bugs and plants, that's good. It tastes better than real meat. Well, it's like, well, I go to King Supers. You can buy it there if you want. And I've tried it, right? And it doesn't taste better. So, you know, Denver Post can do all the stories at once.
Well,
you
get all these people saying Trump can't be on a ballot because he's an existential threat to our democracy. And everybody goes, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense.
That seems
I mean,
like that.
Why having people on a ballot is an existential threat to our democracy? And all you have to do is substitute our oligarchy. It's an existential threat to our oligarchy, or monarchy, if you want. Then you have it. But their idea of democracy is really, you know, the media, Hollywood, you know, little oligarchy they've got going that tells us what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do.
So, but Sherry,
that's interesting, because I think we're supposed to be a republic, not really a democracy anyway.
Yeah,
and
they don't like that idea.
That being the case, we're supposed to have justice, which of course, you know, there's two tiers, three tiers, who knows how many tiers. But
10 tiers, yeah.
Hey, Sherry, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Sherry.
It's people like you who stay informed, who stay informed, though, that is their biggest threat. This from Charlene. Vivek is talking grassroots and gaining support. What if the old ruling classes of Europe never gave up power? They just told us they did. That could be. And then from Charlene, housing market is breaking, mortgage companies going out of business, owning property may soon be a thing of the past. Well, that could be, you know, and then when you own it, they want to tell you what kind of grass you can grow, how much grass you can grow, how much you can use water. That's a good point, Charlene. They do want us to all live in like gulags, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Where they control the electricity.
Sustainable living,
that kind of thing. So, I don't think it's going to work. Although I do think there is a lot on the line in 2024, which is why people like Kent Theory are trying to do this ranked choice voting. I mean, Colorado has always been sort of the test market for some of these very progressive ideas.
Right.
It's
because we have the world's worst establishment Republican Party, who's always said, okay, sounds good to us, yeah.
I'll
stop the grassroots, won't it, boys?
Yeah. Anything that stops the grassroots, they're for. So, so we can see about that. What else do we want to talk about? Oh, a couple other things. So next week, The Colorado Supreme Court hearing, will hear arguments on whether Trump can or can't be on the ballot. Whatever they rule, it'll probably, both sides will appeal it up to the Supreme Court. I like the fact that Trump appealed it also, saying, what the frick? This judge has no, what, you can't just rule me an insurrectionist. There's no basis in the law for that, which again, this judge didn't care about that. So both sides have appealed it. And I suspect it'll go all the way up to the Supreme Court. They don't have as much time as you would think, because the primary season starts after the first of the year. Mm-hmm. And so he has to be able, you know, they have to get the ballots ready. I guess I could put Trump on there and then cross it off. Or Jenna Griswold would probably be like, oh, we left Trump off accidentally. Yeah, we did an invisible ink. So they don't have a lot of time. The Supreme Court, much as it doesn't like to, would have to rule, wouldn't you think? I mean, they would have to rule soon, right? Or, well, I guess they could do whatever they want.
They could do it.
Okay. What is, Oh, okay. I guess Rhino's digging up dirt to take out Deborah Flora's opponent early. Yeah, Charlene, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. So Trent Lisey, if you've been following that, he was texting us live during our show. He is putting, just to bring everybody up to speed, if you've just joined us, he is putting out a statement tomorrow morning, which I'm glad, because that was something I would have encouraged him to do. He needs to. These are situations or issues that could have explanations, and he needs to give them, or if he can't give them, then that says enough, I guess, on its own. But he's going to put out a statement tomorrow morning, and I think we'll come on our show then on Wednesday.
It may not be his first interview, but
By then it probably won't be his first interview. And so I don't know that it was the rhinos who were digging up that dirt. Although I agree with you.
I have a feeling it was.
Well, it was some of it, but I mean, some people, it appears to have started with somebody coming forward to somebody at Turning Point USA. Well, Laura Loomer, I'm not sure. She's kind of a...
It all sounds...
I certainly think the rhinos in the Weld County establishment probably were happy to pile on. Somewhere she got the strip club videotape, right? I mean, that wasn't...
Oh, everybody's going.
I don't have one, but everybody...
That's right, we got one of you coming down that pole.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I was fully clothed, though.
That's true.
It was, and I didn't make any money. No one gave me dollar bills.
Sad.
It was sad. But anyway, so we'll have Trent on that. The other thing I was going to say is also coming up this week, so we'll keep an eye on this, our closing arguments, or closing briefs, I guess it would be. What's the difference between a closing brief is they just file a brief, they don't actually argue it, and the John Eastman taking away his law license trial, right? I think the judge has made it pretty clear on that she's going to take it away.
She looks like it, the way she's ruling.
So what do you predict will happen there?
He'll lose his license. Hopefully he's got one in D.C. and see what they do. They probably get rid of his license there too. But maybe can get one in Florida or Texas or something.
What about in Colorado where he's got the lawsuits here?
Colorado will kick him out.
Well, how will that affect it? Because he's one of the lawyers on the opt-out lawsuit. And I know we've got Randy Corbin and other lawyers. How would that impact that?
I don't know. He's got other people in the Claremont Institute who can do it.
Okay, but he wouldn't be able to?
Well, if they'd recognize his D.C. license, it's in federal court, he could.
And who's they? Would it be the judge that recognized him, the Bar Association? Who's they?
I imagine it would probably go to the Bar Association, although maybe the judge could bring it up. I don't know.
Oh, the judge in the trial? Yeah. Well, and so what that is, again, and he did a great interview, if you haven't listened to it, Julie Kelly has it on her Substack thing, where he basically says Mike Pence is a liar. Pence has never said, you know, he basically, he didn't really say much of anything.
Right.
He made it very clear he didn't want to get involved in anything.
Right.
And he wasn't certainly going to help Trump out, but he said that wasn't the case. And again, you go back to all that John Eastman was doing was giving Trump advice as a lawyer,
yes,
which is his job. He wasn't
in theory.
That's what, you know, the lawyer doesn't say, that's the lawyer's job to say, well, this is what could happen if you do this. This is what could happen if you do this.
Here's a case law for this.
And John Eastman had made it clear within these discussions, there was a lot of various thoughts, right? Nowhere in there. I mean, who was it that stupid person was saying? Trump was saying, oh yeah, Jenna Ellis, she heard somebody say that they heard somebody say that they heard somebody say that Trump said he was going to refuse to leave the White House, which is ridiculous on its face, because guess what?
And she heard it at a cocktail party.
Okay,
well, there you go.
Well, and by that point, Barron Trump had already been enrolled in a school in Florida. Right. They had already moved stuff out of the White House to a certain extent.
But what is cocktail chatter? You know, I mean, Jenna Ellis is despicable. Always. From when we knew her, she was despicable. And why Trump has had her, you know, we were just shaking our heads that you choose some strange people.
Yeah, she certainly was not one of the best. So wait, let me read some comments here. I got to put myself. Let's see. What is happening in... from Charlene. Jenna Ellis is a Benedict Arnold. And then Peg Cage is like, what's happening in CDA tonight? I don't know, Peg. I had the feeling that they might be in CDA. They might be having an executive meeting. I'm not sure. I know I wasn't invited to anything. So... that's funny, but not funny. I never get invited to anything.
No,
so. Oh, hey, but we'll have to talk about this coming up on December 13th. And we'll have more information about this. This is kind of a rambling show today, guys. Sorry.
It is not. It's a great exciting show.
But Robert Spencer, who we have on all the time to talk about
live in person,
from
great.
Jihad Watch, is going to be in Denver. speaking on Thursday night, December 13th. It is free. I think it's only limited to 150 seats. So we'll let you guys know all about that too.
Get us a couple seats.
I already did. I already did. So, okay, well, that'll wrap it up for
that'll
us.
That'll wrap it up.
Thank you to you guys for all of your comments. Those are great comments. Again, we'll have the latest. Look for a statement from Trent Lisey tomorrow morning.
And we'll have him on first thing Wednesday.
On Wednesday too. So we'll see you all. Have a great Monday.